It's 8 o'clock. This is KBNF Regional News for Thursday, December 31st. I'm Patricia Naft. The Delta Montrose Electric Association made a big decision this week about its plans for fiber optic internet. KBNF's Jake Ryan has more.
The board of directors for DMEA voted Tuesday night to get into the internet business. The electrical co-op has been considering high-speed fiber optic internet for a while, but now they are officially going for it. Virginia Harmon is in charge of DMEA's member relations.
Our DMEA board of directors voted unanimously for DMEA to proceed with a fiber to the home and business project.
Fiber to home is the key part there. The DMEA board was, for a long time, considering being the middle mile, just bringing the fiber optic to specific areas and letting private companies run that last stretch into the homes. Now, DMEA has decided to be the middle mile and the last mile. They'll be running line directly to homes and businesses. They'll be becoming an internet service provider.
It's taken a lot of time and considerable effort on the part of the staff and the board to determine what direction we would take. So it is momentous. It really sets the future path for our cooperative, and a lot has gone into it.
She says member demand was one of the big reasons they decided to start providing internet access. An overwhelming majority of polled members say high-speed internet is an important quality of life factor, and over half say they'd be interested in signing up for DMEA internet. Still, an electrical co-op becoming an internet provider is a big change, and Harmon says they don't want to ignore their obligation to the members of the electrical co-op.
We go into each phase, we will be able to minimize our risk by making sure that we're only building phases, you know, once we've met specific take rates and things like that. So we aren't just going to go jump in 100%. It's going to be phase by phase.
The first phase will be a pilot program where a small cluster of homes and businesses will have a fiber optic internet. That area is unknown for now. For KVNF, I'm Jake Ryan.
A livestock disease continues to affect animals on the western slope. KVNF's Laura Pomisano reports.
Vesicular stomatitis, or VS, causes oral blisters and sores, making it difficult or painful for animals to eat and drink. 9 locations in Mesa, Delta, Garfield, and Rio Blanco counties are under quarantine for the disease, according to the latest figures from the Colorado Department of Agriculture. Keith Rohr is the state veterinarian.
Now that all areas of the state have had freezing temperatures, the insect populations are dormant. The remaining quarantines are in the western slope beef herds that likely became infected prior to the weather changing.
Black flies, gnats, and other bugs that like to hang around livestock primarily spread VS. He says 35 counties were under quarantine for the disease in 2015.
Essentially statewide, the only areas that were really not affected were the eastern plains.
Rohr says in 2014 there were 372 quarantines. In 2015, that number jumped to 429.
Not uncommon that we see vesicular stomatitis 2 years in a row. It's had a pattern. We had cases in 1994 and 1995, and then again in 2004 and 2005, and now in 2014 and 2015. And we hope certainly that we don't see it again until 2024.
The Department of Agriculture anticipates sites still under quarantine will be released in early January. For KVNF, I'm Laura Pomisano.
Democratic Speaker of the House Dickie Lee Hollinghorst still wants to see stricter oil and gas rules and says her party may introduce legislation during the upcoming session. Benta Berkland has more from the state capitol.
Lawsuits on the legality of Longmont's fracking ban and 5-year fracking moratorium in Fort Collins are awaiting a decision by the Colorado Supreme Court. Speaker Hollinghorst says it could have a ripple effect during the legislative session. She says she'd like to see different land use regulations.
This is a situation where oil and gas doesn't have to abide by the same land use zoning laws as other industrial operations.
Anti-fracking groups are also preparing to take a question to voters in November to ban or restrict fracking. Hollinghorst says her support would depend very much on what the initiative says and how it's presented. I'm Benta Berkland at the state capitol.
Today's farmer can produce more from their land than ever before. That's partially because of a key ingredient that has never been more widely available, fertilizer. The U.S. may be on the verge of a boom in fertilizer plants. That could be good news for farmers, but not the environment. As part of Harvest Public Media and Inside Energy's Feasting on Fuel series, Abby Wendell reports.
For the past few years, U.S. fertilizer companies have enjoyed an economic sweet spot.
Since 2008, we've had extremely high fertilizer prices relative to history.
David Asbridge is an industry analyst.
And the fertilizer producers have made a lot of money, particularly the nitrogen guys, because natural gas prices have dropped at the same time.
New technologies, like fracking, have increased domestic production of natural gas, which is essential to making nitrogen fertilizer. It's used both as the fuel powering the plants and as the main product ingredient. Just one more way we use fuel to grow our crops. The fertilizer industry is taking the extra-wide profit margin and investing it in expansions and new plants. Close to 24 projects have been announced the past few years, which would double the number currently in operation in the U.S. In the next year, 3 of the world's largest facilities will come on stream. Asbridge says that's likely to benefit corn growers.
We're adding to the total global supply of nitrogen. And if we're adding more capacity, more supply than we're adding demand, then it's going to tend to depress prices.
Eric Schaefer is the director of the Environmental Integrity Project and has been following the industry's development. He says the industry's expansion also means burning a lot of natural gas.
Anytime you burn a fossil fuel, you get carbon dioxide. These processes require a lot of heat, so you get carbon dioxide emissions when you burn those fuels to make that heat.
Let's take the expansion project at the plant in Port Neal, Iowa, for example. It's permitted by the State Environmental Agency to emit the equivalent of more than 2 million tons of carbon dioxide a year. That's the same amount of CO2 as 432,000 cars driven for an entire year. Schaefer compares it to a coal plant.
The carbon load from these fertilizer plants are maybe half to two-thirds of what you'd see out of a coal plant. There's not much that compares with a coal plant. So big, in other words.
Obviously, we are burning fossil fuels.
Nick DeRose is the general manager at the plant in Port Neal, Iowa, and is overseeing the expansion.
This plant that's being built will be among or the cleanest plant in the world.
That's because it's been about 30 years since the industry added a significant amount of production capacity. DeRose says there have been major advances in efficiency and technology in that time. Take super potent nitrous oxide. The new plants are required by state regulators to break almost all of it down into its parts, nitrogen and oxygen, which turns it back into harmless air.
The U.S., with its regulations and requirements, its environment, engineering know-how and such, is probably among the most responsible manufacturers in the world.
And it's not like the world can just stop producing nitrogen fertilizer. For many farmers, it's as essential as soil and water and sunlight.
Pump's running, so this tank should be filling up with anhydrous.
Mike Burnham is a fertilizer dealer in western Illinois. Today, he's filling up extra storage tanks with the cheapest form of nitrogen fertilizer, anhydrous ammonia.
There's a need out here, and we're trying to fill that need. If we didn't have any fertilizer dealers around, corn might make 50 bushel, you know, and you just can't survive on 50 bushel corn.
Today, farmers in the Midwest easily reap 3 to 4, even 5 times that much corn, which helps meet the demand of a growing global population. For Inside Energy, I'm Abby Wendell.
That story comes to us as part of a collaboration between Harvest Public Media and Inside Energy. For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.